closer.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rarest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture. The radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU FM, McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your super buddies.
Sidekicking our way through the world of comics. Now, where are we really sidekicks, though?
Well, we're each other's sidekicks.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, okay, right. I was a little worried about that because I didn't think either of us were a sidekick.
Well, we're both.
Each other's sidekicks.
We're each other's sidekicks, and Chris, we're each other's leading man.
Oh, wow.
No, what do you call
it? I always wanted to be a leading man.
Hold on.
Hero?
No, is that what it's called?
I don't know.
So, like, let's say, okay, my official name is, hey, I'm that guy's sidekick.
Right.
He's my...
Master?
No.
Oh, I don't know. What?
I don't know. I'm asking.
He's
my front kick? Gah! Stop.
Main squeeze?
Oh, Chris. I like that. Yeah, I like the sound of that. Yeah. Anyway, we are each other's sidekicks today, and we are here to, I guess, chit-chat about comic books,
We like to do that every once in a while.
Yeah, so we're going to start the show, as we do every week, with your picks on a few comics that are hitting the stands at the local comic book shops today.
Yes. And let's start with Avengers Assemble.
Oh, Chris, we can't start without reading the sponsor.
No, sponsor,
are you thinking?
I'm all discombobulated here.
I don't know. All right. Hey. New this week is brought to you by...
So professional.
Yes. Excuse me. Valentine gifts available at your local comic book shop.
Well, that's a great point. You know, we'll get into that more later on the show. All about Valentine's Day. And is the comic book shop the place to get your loved one a Valentine's Day gift?
Can't wait for that segment.
A little bit more on that later.
All right.
So, new this week... So, as usual, we like to start off with one of the big two, and so today we're going to start off with Marvel, and we've got Avengers Assemble number 12.
Now, Avengers Assembled number 12.
Yes, that's right. Avengers Assembled number 12. Now, this one has, it's written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and the art by Pete Woods. Now, Pete Woods, great, great artist. I got to say, I've always liked his artwork. Really good artist. Really good on, I like his storytelling, the way he develops the story through pictures. Mm-hmm. Kelly Sue DeConnick is relatively new to the Marvel scene, or the comic scene, I would say. And I think it's not surprising that she has taken, now, this is going to sound really sexist, but she has taken two of the Avengers female characters, as well as Hawkeye, but it's got Spider-Woman and Black Widow, and it's a big story involving basically those two characters. Now, I say that it's also got Hawkeye in it, but, you know, I always find it's interesting that I think that women probably write better women characters. Right?
Makes sense.
Right? So I like the fact that she's taken these characters like Black Widow, like Spider-Woman, and done some cool stuff with them. And, you know, it's an interesting story. I don't want to give too much of away. It's got an underground mafia spy kind of feel to it. And when I say underground, I really do mean underground. Like,
right.
There's, like, you know, lizards and things like that involved.
Chris.
Interesting book.
Yeah. Listen, at the fear, at the... What do you call it? At the thought, or I don't know what I'm saying. But
I don't know either.
At the chance that I'm going to be say something controversial.
Yes.
I don't think men understand women.
You know what? I can't.
So how can we write
about? I can't believe you're saying something like that on the air.
Right.
And, you know, it's you know, I'm shocked.
Oh, you understand him?
Not at all.
Okay, so
not,
there you go.
Not
see?
At all.
All right, so yeah, so I think a female perspective from a female is a good thing.
Absolutely. And when I'm sure all of our female listeners will tell me not to go and get my wife her Valentine's Day present from PartSource.
Yeah, but you listen. listen. They haven't heard the end, like, the
no,
end of the show
no,
yet.
No, that's right. That's right.
We will
convince them of
all
the
listen,
great.
All right, Chris, you have here Avengers Assemble number 12, and that's available at your local comic book shop today.
Correctamundo. Okay. My next one is by DC, Batman, continuing the story. I know I often talk about Batman on this show.
Because you often talk about Batman.
I do. It's one of my go-to new this week titles. But dang, if it ain't good, right? You know, Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo.
Is it still on that?
It's on the
Welcome
whole,
to the Joker storyline.
Death of the Family.
Death of the Family.
Conclusion. This is it. This is the big punchline. And in fact, the story is called the punchline.
Oh, really?
Because, well, it's like, you know, it's the Joker jokes has punchlines. You know, do you get
right,
it? Right,
right. I get it.
So, anyways, yeah, crazy looking story. Crazy, you know. Wow, I just love what they've done with this Joker character here, and. I can't even describe to you how terrifying it looks. It is like a cross between the Joker and, you know, some sort of Silence of the Lambs type movie. It's demented. It's scary looking. You know,
this is a Batman just for adults, really. Like
it, you know? It almost is. It almost is. But do you remember back in the day, like Batman, the original Detective Comics and Batman? They were a little bit, you know, back in the 70s, they were a little more dark and gruesome for that time period, right? I mean, it was, you know, in the 60s and the 50s, sure.
Well, it was, if you remember, if you harken back. It was Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams that saved Batman from the camp.
Absolutely.
Of the mid-60s.
Yeah.
And they went to DC and said, hey, DC guys, okay, let's save this character.
Yeah.
Let's get him back to the, you know, late 30s type of Batman character. And DC said, yeah, sure, why not?
That's a strange idea, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, then they kind of went to that dark detective, you know, I guess since then, really, everybody kind of goes back to the Miller days of the 80s. But
now
really,
they do, yeah.
You can kind of go to O'Neill and Adams in the
really,
early 70s.
Because when they resurrected Batman, they really made it back for I don't want to say more adult, but certainly they got away from the campiness. And it's funny, people often forget that, you know, when they see the Batman TV show from the 1960s with Burt Ward and Adam West, they say, oh my God, that was so funny. It was so campy. But that was based on the comics that were coming out of that time. It was a campy comic. Yeah. You know, it had, you know, the crazy giant, you know, octopuses and things like that, right?
So, now, hey, listen, every era has its, I guess, it leaves its mark.
That's right.
Hey, listen, this era is definitely leaving its mark. That's Batman number 17. And that's hitting your local comic book shop today.
Yes, a great looking book, by the way. You got to check that out. Now, I don't always have more than one book by the same publisher, but I thought, I gotta bring this up. So this is, now you're familiar with anime, right?
Sure am.
So anime is the, you know, the sort of like the Japanese cartoon industry. They call it anime.
Yeah.
So manga is sort of like the Japanese comic books, and anime is the Japanese cartoons.
Video type.
So, that's right. So it's, you know, it's still going strong, obviously. There's still tons of manga and anime out there. And it seems like, you know, every once in a while, DC tries to, or some one of the major companies tries to do sort of a crossover type comic. And this is number
usually
five.
Usually doesn't end well, Chris.
It usually doesn't end well, but this is number five already, which is, you know, lasts longer than some comics do.
Yeah. So, longer than you, anyway.
Never mind. Anyways. So this is AME Comics. It's AME-COMI, AME Comics Girls. This one features Supergirl, but it's funny. I just think it's interesting how they, for some reason, in the Japanese style or half Japanese style of comics, for whatever reason, now it's okay to put your, the, the, the regular DC characters who are female in the skimpiest of clothing.
Yes!
Now, this would not work in the regular DC continuity.
I wouldn't stand for it in a regular DC line.
But you know what?
You
like,
right
all of a sudden, in because it's this sort of hybrid of Japanese and North American comics, it's not only allowed, but encouraged. To have the skimpy outfits and the crazy costumes and everything, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's interesting how I don't think DC would normally have gone for this had it been in the regular continuity.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm looking at this right now, and there's like your classic, Japanese anime type of ploys, like upskirt ploys and stuff like that. And if it sells comics, Chris, why the hell not? Anyway, Amikami Girls. Did I say that right?
I think so. Amikami.
Amikami Girls, yeah. Number 5, is hitting your local comic book shop new this week stands today.
Right.
Check it out.
Okay, so now this is interesting. Now I don't know if you remember, back in the day. You're an old man, right?
Old man.
Back in the, I think it was the 50s even. It could have been 60s.
The
50s. It could have been the 60s. They came out with a line of cards, Mars Attacks, right?
Right, right.
Old, by Topps, series of bubblegum cards.
Yep.
And then, of course, years later, they came out with a movie by Tim Burton.
Yes.
And I think before that, they came out with some trading. They tried to do the trading cards thing again. And anyways, now there's a comic of it. This is issue number 7. So Mars Attacks number 7 by John Layman and John McCrae. Very interesting. They continue this storyline, basically Mars attacking Earth, and they've got these crazy looking characters and these they've got the whole science fiction thing going on, but I just find it interesting that even in the there's two different covers, and one of the covers actually comes with a trading card, so it actually harkens back to the old 1950s trading card bubblegum thing. Now I just think it's interesting that I like it, but at the same time it kind of makes me sad that it seems like people can't come up with new ideas.
Yeah, you know what, and I think you've hit the nail on the what am I looking for here? On the head,
right?
Mars Attacks was marginal as a movie.
Oh yeah,
and yet IDW goes and search. But this is IDW, right? This is IDW. They go around searching for properties.
Absolutely.
And I don't like. I honestly like if you're on the IDW board or whatever the guy is making the decisions. What chance does Mars Attacks have of becoming something? But I think slim.
Slim. But this one has a great cover by Dan Brereton. Dan Brereton is a pretty well known painter for horror and stuff like that.
Yeah, but still.
Now, how well is it going to do? I don't really know. I mean,
I know how well it's going to do. It's going to do terribly.
Well, we don't know that. But
yeah,
what I'm more interested in is how does IDW decide on these properties that they're going to make comics out of?
Anybody that'll give them a property for the right price,
How far away are we from, say, Ed Wood comic?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know
like,
what?
Like Plan 9 from Outer Space comic series. Not just a one-off, because they've done that before, but a whole series. Or how about Adam's Family comics?
Yeah. I mean, they did, Gold Key did those in the 60s, but I can't see why they wouldn't try to come back, because it's all about grabbing some sort of property and getting the license and doing stuff like that. And I think it's all about, honestly, I think it's all about just print as much as you possibly can, throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, we're going to have like Glenn or Glenda the comic,
I'd buy that. I'll buy that, baby.
All right.
Hey, listen, Mars Attacks number 7.
Okay, well, you know what?
Check it out
because not too many people will. But anyways, here we go. Final comic for the kids' pick of the week: SpongeBob comics number 17, the magazine for Porous Pushovers.
Porous Pushovers.
Porous Pushovers.
I love SpongeBob, by the way, Chris.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of SpongeBob. Yep. I think SpongeBob is great.
I think it's a great creation, and I think it's great for kids. And it's one of those cartoons/comics that you can read it as a kid and it's funny, but you read it as an adult and it's funny as well. Like, it's just got a little bit of adult humor in there that kind of passes over the heads of kids, but it's not so that it's not perverse or anything like that. It's just clever.
It's just great. It's clever and it's great. Yeah. And if you ask me, more Patrick. That's all I got to say.
More Patrick.
All right. SpongeBob. SpongeBob number 17. It's your local comic book shop. Stay. Check that out, please.
All right. Well, let's. It is, you know, as we mandated at the beginning of the year, we have to have at least one Krantz Spider-Man song every episode and every show, I should say. And here it is, To Cage a Spider.
Chris, listen, I'm telling you something right now. You know, guys are worried on Valentine's Day. You know, they're worried.
Did you call it Valentine's Day?
Yeah, Valentine. I'm not sure what I said, but you know what I meant.
Yeah, okay.
So listen, guys, forget the roses. Forget the box of chocolates. You know, have that sweet little somebody with you on that night and put on the Krantz album.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Oh,
I'm telling you, buddy, you're going to thank me in the morning.
Absolutely.
You're going to just send me emails. This is the stuff.
This is the stuff. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Good pick, Chris. All right. So that takes us to industry news. And
we're not doing no letters? Nobody wrote us a letter this week?
Nobody wrote us a letter this week.
That's sad.
I don't know what's going on.
That is sad times. Yeah, you know what? Make sure to all of our listeners out there, please do send us some email if you ever feel like it. I know this, but you know what? I've actually talked to people and they said, you know, I don't want to write anything because I don't want to feel like a dork or whatever.
I don't want to bother you.
I don't want to bother you. Yeah, people actually say that. You know what? But please send us an email.
Yeah, bother us.
Bother us.
Hey, listen. Industry News is brought to you by Romance Comics. They're deader than the Westerns, and they need your support. Ask about Romance Comics at your local comic book shop.
Romance? Do they even make those anymore?
I think once or twice.
Although,
then,
hey, you know what?
I think they last two or three issues.
Speaking of Romance Comics, I really liked your Undervalued Spotlight this week.
Yes, thank you.
I really, really liked that a lot. I thought it was a very interesting comic. First Ditko
work.
Yeah. And
was a romance comic.
I liked the cover. I liked the I can't remember the title of it though. I can't remember the name of the comic.
Called oh my god. Oh, Rough Love.
I doubt tough, it was
Tough
Rough
Love. Oh, it was called Daring Love.
Daring Love, yeah. Right. I like Rough
Thanks,
Love.
Chris. Hey, you can check that post out on comicbookdaily.com, by the way. Right. Thanks for the plug, Chris.
All right. That's being serious. Rough Love.
Rough Love
brought to you by Spider-Man Comics. Anyways, speaking of Spider-Man, we weren't really, but we were talking about Krantz earlier.
Yeah.
Superior Spider-Man is the top of the tops in January.
Yeah.
So Superior Spider-Man was the new Marvel comic that debuted in January, and looks like it sold a total of 182 issues.
Yeah. So that led January, which we're going to pass on to our listeners. January was another banner month. Comics were up year over year.
Yep.
The industry's going well. It's going forward. Leading the pack was Superior Spider-Man. And then they had some really good stuff. Well, I mean, I got the top 10 here in front of me, Chris. It's Batman number 16, Justice League number 16, New Avengers, and I think 7 of the top 10 were Marvels.
Right.
But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. And,
okay.
And it seems to me that, you know, Marvel had, I think, a whole bunch of number ones. X-Force was a number one in the top
right.
10.
Well,
Savage Wolverine, yeah. New Avengers, and Superior Spider-Man.
Well, they had the start. They still were starting some of their Marvel Now comics.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
But my point though is okay. Batman number 16 and Justice League number 16 were both DCs. They both came in at 2 and 3.
Yep.
And they were both. How can I say this? It seems like comics are driven by either. Comic sales,
yeah,
are either driven by a gimmick,
yeah,
which I count a number one as a gimmick.
Yeah, well, okay, sure,
it's a gimmick.
I can see that. Yeah,
it's a gimmick. They stop and then they start and then they go,
it is
hey, you know,
it is a gimmick now. I'll give you that. Yeah,
it's
for
a gimmick.
Sure, yeah,
or like really really good storytelling,
like
a story arc that has a buzz.
Yes.
So
you're right.
What's this one called again?
Batman Death of a Family.
Death of a Family, that's got a buzz, and so does the Throne of Atlantis that's running through
Justice League.
Yep. So I like the number 2 and 3.
Yeah,
because they're based on, oh man, this is what a read, right?
Right.
And people
right.
are picking it up.
Well,
and they're buying it.
You're right.
I don't like the number ones. I mean, I like the number ones. Don't get me wrong. I like strong sales, but
I mean,
don't like the fact that, you know, Marvel is getting all theirs off the number ones.
You know, as far as like, there's like of the top 15,
yeah.
8 of them are in the top 3. Like, or sorry, 8 of them are the top are in there because they're issues 1, 2, or 3.
Right, they're early.
They're early
in
issues.
The Marvel Now.
You know, and if you want to even stretch it further, it could be 10 because it includes X-Men and all new X-Men number 5 and 6.
Yeah,
but you know, you look at Batman. The ones that aren't in the top 5 or 6 are Batman, Justice League, Batman and Robin, and Detective Comics, and they're all issues number 16.
Yeah, but
so,
they're all part of the Joker storyline, the Batman related ones,
right?
They're all part of a good story.
But further to what you're saying, they're all way beyond the early issues of the new title.
Sure, they're about story. Is
right,
my point.
Right,
they're
yeah.
about story.
Yeah.
So that's the way you build a customer base. That's the way you build. I read somewhere here on this thing that the number 2 for Superior was off 37% from the number 1, which is still okay, I guess, because it came in at number 5. And considering that most comic shops went heavy on the incentives for the number 1.
Right, right.
Excuse me. You know, sales of number 2 weren't bad. It's just that, I don't know. I mean, if, as an industry, if we can focus on, you know, getting the good stories.
Right.
That's the key. Getting good stories out, stories that have a buzz, story that have people talking. This is the way to build readership.
Absolutely. I completely agree. You know what? It's funny. Years ago, I think it must ebb and flow. There must be trends every once in a while, because years ago it was all about the gimmicks, and then
yeah.
somebody clued in, thought, hey, you know what, let's have good stories. And for a long time we had great stories,
right?
And then it kind of went by the wayside for a little while, and it seems like only now we're starting to see some good stories again.
Right,
you know, it's sort of
right.
coming through again, but it kind of ebbs and flows, and every once in a while there's little dips and lags, and then new creators are put on old books and things like that, and then all of a sudden now you get good stories again.
Yeah.
So which I find is very interesting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the problem with the stories, again, though, like, what was that, Court of the Owls?
That was the
yeah.
old one, yeah.
So that was, like, an amazing storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically one-upped it, which was
right.
hard for Court
yes.
of the Owls,
because
yes. that was amazing.
Yeah.
So they one-upped it with the Joker storyline.
Yeah.
The problem with, in general, the problem with the arcs, if they're not part of a larger arc.
Yeah.
The problem with the arcs is they can get out of hand too.
Yes.
And when each arc takes the character on a 180 degree turn because that next creative team is coming in and they want to do their thing and right. the other creative team, and then that's not good either. So you know, the storylines have to be great, but they have to be in the continuity of the storylines
right.
before.
Right.
And that's kind of what I want.
But I don't even mind it when there's 180 turns but what I don't like is when you buy a story arc and you read the last issue, you read the last page of the last issue, and all of a sudden it doesn't actually end. And unfortunately, and I'm not going to, you know, give it to Marvel for that, because, you know, how many times have we read one of their major story arcs, like Secret Invasion or whatever,
and
all of a sudden you think, okay, this is, you know, I'm in the last issue, I'm really enjoying the series, and then you read the last one, and then all of a sudden it's a build up to the next story arc.
And it
just frustrates me as a reader, and I end up thinking to myself, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to bother buying the next one because I don't want to be, I don't want to feel like I'm being sucked into
it.
Right?
Too many loose ends at the end.
Can't
be too many loose ends at the end. There could be like a little sliver of,
what's happening?
You have to have some sort of satisfaction after you've read
and
that.
And I found
story
that with Marvel comics, you don't usually get that satisfaction.
No, I can't get no.
Can't get no
satisfaction.
No.
All right, Chris.
All right.
Well, listen, the industry's doing good. We had a good January, which is a positive thing.
Yep.
And let's hope February is even better.
I think it will be. I think, you know what? There's a lot of comic book related movies that are still coming out this year, and I think we've seen a bit of a boom of comic book sales because of the strong Hollywood influence that comics has had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or because now we're getting all kinds of comic movies last year and the year before that, and I think this year is going to continue on with that trend.
Excellent.
All right. Let's talk about Ultimate Spider-Man.
Let's.
All right. Well, it looks like Marvel Comics released a teaser image for Ultimate Spider-Man number 23. Now, that's supposed to be coming out in May,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of a... It says Spider-Man No More.
No, say it.
I don't like talking about that, but, you know, Miles Morales is kind of walking away. You can see his costume is sort of hanging in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
You said, I've had enough. That's it.
I'm
done. I'm
done with this whole Spider-Man nonsense.
This is
too many
just a drag,
villains
man.
Dragging me down.
Yeah.
That's right. Now... Here's my thing. So
here's your thing.
Here's now, of course, this particular teaser is actually an homage to the now classic issue of Spider-Man number 50, where Spider-Man did the same thing.
Right, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. The original one from like
67.
Yeah. I was gonna say late 60s. I wasn't really too sure exactly.
Now, Chris, quick trivia. Sorry to jump in.
Okay,
take you out on a tangent.
All right, tangent.
But
tangent
Spider-Man
away.
Number 50 had that great red cover. You know, whatever. But what else was Spider-Man number 50 famous for?
Oh,
a very important introduction.
I'm gonna say Spider-Man 50
mm-hmm.
first. I want
it's
to
okay,
say,
it's only an hour
hold
of the show.
We'll just hold on a second. My first thought was first Kingpin, but I don't think that's right.
Ding!
It is?
You got it right.
Hey!
Yeah. First Kingpin.
Hey,
introduction
look at
of
that.
The Kingpin
yeah,
was
yeah,
Spider-Man
yeah, okay.
50.
For some reason, I started second-guessing myself about that. Jeez,
uh-huh.
You know, look at that. I do know something about comics.
I think the Kingpin beat up on Spider-Man in 50, and Spidey goes, man, this heavy man beat me up. I quit.
Right. But, okay, so this teaser image
mm-hmm.
is actually an homage to the splash page
yes.
to that Spider-Man number 50.
Spider-Man 50, yeah.
Now, here's what I don't get.
What?
If you want to do an homage, why don't you do it properly? Do the cover of Spider-Man number 50.
You're right.
Right? Why are you doing the splash page? Seriously, how many people have had the chance to actually open up that first crack, that cover of that issue and recognize that splash page.
You're right.
Right?
You're right.
Very few people because it's an expensive book now because of the first appearance of the Kingpin.
Right.
Right? So, right. And it's a deadly storyline. Yeah, that's right.
You're right.
But
the cover is what do you call it?
Everybody's
that?
Seen
yeah,
that.
Yeah, iconic. Really.
Iconic because we've got the image of Spider-Man sort of in the actual character, and then you got Peter Parker kind of the back and he's kind of walking away from the
right.
whole thing, right?
Right.
Why not
right.
just do that?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
people would have got it.
Hey, So Miles Morales walks away from being Spider-Man.
Right.
My question, I think this is an opportunity. Do you think maybe Peter Parker will come back?
That would
be
nice.
Be Spider-Man?
That would be nice. Hey, you know what? Something just occurred to me.
Did it?
Wouldn't it be funny? Do you remember years ago They brought out in India the Peter Parker.
Yeah, I remember.
Wouldn't it
that,
be funny if they brought the East Indian version of Peter Parker to become the ultimate Spider-Man, because then Peter Parker would become Spider-Man?
You never know.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
I think it would
be. Why not do that? Because they've already got the character established. He was the Peter Parker created for the Indian market.
Well, I think you might be onto something, Chris, because what Marvel did with Miles Morales is they broke the mold of that kind of, you know, white Anglo thing.
No longer.
So the Miles Morales kind of had his stint. So now you're going to get an East Indian do his stint. And
why
then
not?
Maybe an Asian after that.
Why
and
not?
Can do a world tour.
Sure, why not? Absolutely, yeah. Right. Absolutely, sure.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. We have just solved all of the world's
problems.
Yeah, that's right. And the world's.
Because
really, if anybody can be Peter Parker, then anything can happen.
No, not Peter Parker.
Anybody can be Spider-Man, then anything can happen.
Anything can happen. You're absolutely right. So that, anyway, it remains to be seen what they're going to do with the character. But
you're absolutely
but they're
right.
Always doing something to Spidey, aren't they?
They seem to.
Leave the guy alone.
I know. What's
sakes.
Up with that? Jeez. All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here. I don't know. What do you want to hear today? I don't even know. What do you want to play? Chuck Berry. you know what? How about we go with Wonder Woman?
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman!
All the world's waiting for you.
Stop a bullet cold, Chris.
Make the Axis fold.
Look out. Look out, Wonder Woman. Hey, Chris, we're continuing with industry news, and the industry news part two, brought to you by the word bubble. Having a hard time saying I love you? Just write it in a word bubble and hold it next to your head.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
You know, that's why the world bubble's there for you, especially on a Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
You guys are awkward sometimes with the ILY thing.
ILY? Oh, right.
You see, and then the word bubble can come in handy.
Yeah, see, you know, even the initials of the words.
Yeah,
it's hard. Yeah,
doesn't come off the tongue. Doesn't come off the tongue very
easily,
does it?
No.
All right, anyway, let's keep talking about it. Hey, Chris, I know you're a fan.
Speaking of tongues and things that, you know, kind of wag out in the air.
The Walking Dead.
Yes.
So,
great show. Absolutely fantastic. Now, I will say I did not, sadly, get a chance to see the premiere of the second half of the third season.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe that.
Exactly.
Anyways, last Sunday they had an episode and I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
Didn't get a dinner.
It broke records.
That's right. Yeah, and I didn't see it, so it broke even without me seeing it. It broke records.
Can you imagine if you watched it?
Craziness.
It'd be off the charts.
I know.
Christ sakes.
Craziness.
I mean, for crap. I mean,
what,
I don't know what.
You know what?
Exactly.
Hey, it's
you
not,
know
it's not Easter or Christmas. It's okay.
Yeah, it's a family friendly show.
Yeah.
So this thing keeps growing.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
This thing has legs.
It's like the millipede.
Yeah. Really? No. I mean, like Walking Dead is a phenomenon that. Is like third year in.
Yes.
And it seems every half year, because what they do is they do a premiere in October and then they do a second half of the season premiere in February. And it seems like everyone is setting a new mark.
Yes. It, you know what? It, I think because people are realizing that it's a very well-written show. I think some people initially thought that, you know, it's a show about zombies, right? Really, like, you know, it's going to be like everything else that's about zombies. I don't really want to watch it. But I think people are realizing that it's so well-written, it's compelling, because it's not just about zombies. It's about the characters around the zombies, and it's about their lives and how they have to adjust to this new world order. Yeah,
they are doing zombies well.
Yes, absolutely.
Before you know it, they're going to be doing plays about zombies.
I know. Imagine that. Could you imagine a play or a musical about zombies?
About zombies?
That'd be crazy.
The dumbest thing ever, really.
Night of the Living Dead, the musical or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Or a play.
Yeah, so this is great. Walking Dead, I'm happy. As a shopkeep,
let me ask you. So
graphic novels are great.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. So Walking Dead graphic novels traditionally over the past little while have been selling like hotcakes.
Hotcakes.
Are they still selling well? Are they increasing, or are they kind of slowed down because people get interested in things and then all of a sudden it kind of dies out because, well, you know, if you or I, we go to get the graphic novel, well, how many people are out there who really want to read the graphic novel?
Right.
I would imagine there's a finite amount. But is that growing still? Are you still selling tons of them?
You know,
it's up to issue, like, what, 18 for the graphic novel now?
Yeah.
So are people still clamoring for the
next
one?
You know what? The great thing about Walking Dead, Chris, is the monthlies, the circulation for the monthlies is increasing every month.
Really?
Are the number of people reserving it for a pull is increasing.
For the monthlies.
Yeah, and the graphic novels are also increasing.
Well,
it's crazy.
So here is my question. In order to get the monthlies, you really have to be up to date on what's happening.
Yeah.
So that means that people are going out, and if the monthlies is increasing in numbers, that means that they would have to go out and buy all the graphic novels to get caught up to date.
Exactly.
That's a lot of graphic novels.
Yes.
That's a lot of reading.
Yes.
That's, if people are doing that, that's fantastic.
Yes, it is. And
it
that's
really
what's going
is.
On. So that one is feeding the other. And you know what? There are people coming in to buy their flippin' third copy of the early graphic novels because they've worn them out and they've given them to buddies and these things are great and it's all about getting back to what we were talking about before with the Batman and stuff. It's about the storytelling.
These are
stories that are well told.
This is
capturing the imagination of the reader. And it's engrossing the reader. It's involving the reader. It's really making the reader enjoy his or her read.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
Awesome. I love hearing that. Love hearing that.
All right. So this is something I don't love hearing about, Chris. This next story.
What's that?
This is an interesting story. So you've heard of this guy Orson Scott Card?
Yeah, he wrote the book Ender's Game.
Ender's
Game. He did a couple of Marvel books for the Iron Man, I believe.
Yeah, Ender's Games also is going to be a movie in the fall.
Yeah, that's right. I read the book. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, DC has hired him to do some stuff with Superman, Adventures of Superman, and apparently the gay rights organizations are up in arms.
What? Why?
Over him being DC shouldn't hire this guy apparently because he has been an outspoken opponent of gay marriages.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what I said. Okay.
Wait. So hold on. So people are saying that, so the gay organizations are saying don't hire this guy because he's against gay marriages.
Yes.
So aren't they kind of doing what he would be doing to them?
Yeah,
like
kind
of.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of ostracizing them for being gay.
You know what? I don't think...
Or for not wanting to have gay marriages. Now, now they're saying, well, don't hire him. So they're ostracizing him because they don't want him to get work.
So pardon my French, but it kind of gets into a big pissing contest here.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because what happens is I think he is, from what I read briefly, and I could be absolutely totally wrong, I think the argument more is more about marriage. You know, I think you and I discussed this before. I think it was about the tag of marriage with Orson Scott Card. I mean, unions is one way of wording it. And I think, I read this in a separate little thing about him. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm against calling it a marriage. Right.
Right.
And I mean, he can be just against the whole principle of it.
Right.
But the fact that they are now up in arms because he doesn't share their views, and they're trying to now blacklist him,
right?
Because he doesn't share their views is something that I personally don't agree with.
No,
right?
I disagree with it as well.
I mean, if he is a good writer and he's writing comics and he has strong views about, you know, same-sex marriages, those are his views.
So,
what the heck?
Yeah, you know? I mean, now I don't want to drag this out too much, but I mean, let's say somebody in the gay community had really strong views about having gay marriages, and in their job, maybe somebody didn't like that. And
yeah.
So what, all of a sudden they're supposed to be, you know, ostracized from their job? It had the work and their beliefs have nothing to do with each other.
What if a writer, you know, wore furs?
Right. You know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. What if he was a vegan?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe you eat meat. You know what? I don't want to hire you because you eat meat.
Okay.
In fact, you know what?
You know, what if he's a devout? Like, what if he's an atheist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where does it end, right?
Yeah. What if he's a Leaf fan?
Wow. Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa,
whoa,
whoa,
whoa,
whoa.
You know, I like the Leafs, but, you know, come on now.
Yeah,
do they really need work?
But
I
think you and I are in the same boat on this one. Hey, listen, a person's personal beliefs are a person's personal beliefs.
Yep.
I think it's up to you and me to make that decision whether we're going to buy their product, and it should be based on the merit of the product.
Absolutely.
I don't think Orson Scott Card has said anything. I mean, I guess he has to the gay and lesbian community when he said, "Hey, I don't approve of same-sex marriages," and I guess that they have a beef with him, which is fine. But I don't think they should be telling DC.
I think they're lucky
not to hire him.
I think they're lucky that this story is even getting published. Really?
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't you think?
But you know what? I think this story. I think this story is helping Orson Scott Card. I don't think they want to do that.
No.
You know, so I don't think they want you and I talking about this.
Yeah,
I don't think they want this in the media.
Well, no.
And this is what they've got.
Because I think most people, you know, I shouldn't say, I don't know about that. I would imagine that a lot of people would have the same views that you and I would have.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say most people. I don't know about that. But I think most people would, or I should say that a lot of people would have the view of separate it. Separate your views on marriage with work.
Yes.
Right? Why not?
Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right. Listen, let's keep on going here. Enough about Orson Scott Card. Let's talk about Marvel and the Age of Ultron.
The Age of Ultron, Chris.
It was the Age
of Ultron.
The Age of Ultron.
Oh, sorry. I got the wrong song.
Ultron.
All
right. So, Marvel Comics is coming up with the Age of Ultron soon. And they had the previous submit or perish motto. Now it's going for the more deadly sounding do or die.
Ayo.
Who will emerge from the Age of Ultron?
Yes, I see that. Marvel teases possible Age of Ultron deaths. You know what I say to that, Chris? I say, I'm going to be pissed off if there's no deaths.
Yeah, exactly.
I want deaths.
If nobody dies, there's going to be a problem.
And comics has gotten to the point where if there's not deaths, something is wrong.
That's right.
I say kill all the mofos.
Now,
And then start from scratch.
Why not?
New Marvel now.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
Not now, but now.
Now. Not the Marvel now.
Yeah.
But I want to
Marvel now too.
Marvel now.
Marvel now.
Now.
Right.
Now.
And you know what? So kill everybody.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Do it all.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, what's a death in comics mean anymore?
You know what? Ever since they brought Bucky back, it means nothing.
Nothing.
Because Bucky was like that sacred character, Captain America's sidekick, dead for 78 years. You know, didn't get a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
You know,
dead
bring,
for 70
bring him back.
Years, Chris, never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner.
But
my new favorite saying.
Yeah, so
way.
I'm reading this. I'm going, Marvel teases Age of Ultron deaths.
Yeah.
I'm going, please. Are you now trying to tease us with deaths?
I know.
Are you trying to get us excited by deaths?
It's been done.
You've killed everything 17 times.
Yeah.
And you dare publicize the possibility of a death in your Age of Ultron storyline?
I agree. And you know what? And it says here, so how does one explain the Wasp wearing the new Captain Marvel costume? And what's with
cross-dressing?
What's with Cyclops looking like Cable? I want to know those answers more before I want to see deaths, really, because deaths are old hat.
Deaths are old hat.
Why is Wasp wearing a new Captain Marvel costume?
I don't know.
Why is that?
Is that Captain Marvel? I read that as Miss Marvel.
No, Captain Marvel.
Oh, right. Okay, that makes more sense.
Well,
now.
Really, yeah.
Right.
Miss Marvel, okay. Captain Marvel. They're all Marvels.
Yeah, they're all Marvel. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing about Age of Ultron. Marvel has built it up into, you know, their main event of the year. And guess what? Marvel is lucky.
They are?
They have, Ultron. I don't know, I'm going to say 2.3 billion fans out there.
Billion?
Okay. Thousand.
Hundred?
Thousand fans out there that are really excited about their product line.
Absolutely.
About their character line.
Sure.
And if the writers to be, if the architects of the Marvel U were sitting down a few months ago when they decided this Age of Ultron.
Yep.
You know, they can do some really good things with this, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
They can, if they thought it all out and if they saw an end game and they take us through a really good story to get to that end game and there's a new lay of the land on the other side,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is a good thing. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic Age of Ultron. But don't come at me saying, oh, I think everybody might die or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been done.
And we're not going to tell you who's going to die, but there might be some deaths.
And
please,
case in point, remember what I was talking about Marvel,
deaths.
You know, Marvel leading us on and then you got to buy the next big thing. So here it says here, do these changes reflect the some sort of alternate or future Marvel universe, or are these changes the result of what happens in the first six issues of Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go again. I got to read the first six issues of Age of Ultron to find out what might happen after that.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me for a...
You know.
Give me the reasons. Give me the darn answers. Anyways.
Yeah, it makes me mad.
It makes me mad.
It better be... All I'm saying to Marvel, and you better listen, who's a big wig at Marvel? Help me out.
Tom DeFalco. No.
Tom DeFalco.
Joe Quesada.
Yeah. If you're listening, Joe, this better be good, pal.
I agree. All right.
I know where you... I don't know where you live, but I know your email.
All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here, because everybody wants to hear Meet the Creeper.
Chris, you know what you are?
What is that?
You're a Love Meister.
Love Meister.
Yeah, because it's Halloween. What's the other one?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's this week. And I know you, the love guru, you knew that Meet the Creeper would be a great song to entice the ladies.
Woo! Happy Valentine's Day,
Happy
ladies.
Meet
the Creeper.
Meet the Creeper, yeah. All right, Chris, let's talk about, speaking of meeting the Creeper, in a way.
Yes.
Six DC issues
the
titles
axe.
Have met the Creeper.
Yes, they really have. Final issues of Fury of Firestorm, The Ravagers, Savage Hawkman, Deathstroke.
No, not Deathstroke!
Team 7 and Sword and Sorcerer. Deathstroke, isn't that describes... Anyways, hey-o. All right, looks like two more books that are going away in April, iVampire and DC Universe Presents. It appears that eight titles in total will be getting the axe.
No.
Now that's almost 15% of the quote unquote new 52.
I know.
Which brings me to another point, which we didn't talk about earlier.
We didn't?
Why are they still new?
That's a good point.
It's 17 issues in. Are they still new? Why do they call it New 52?
They should call them. They should have a staggered thing. From new, they should go to fresh. The fresh 52.
Okay.
Right, and then from fresh, they should go right into, let's say,
day
I
old.
Don't know. Yeah, the has-beens.
Has-beens.
I don't know.
Time for retirement. 52.
Yeah, the veteran.
Veteran.
The veteran 52.
Yeah, I don't. Why is it called the DC?
The long 50? And the tooth.
How about
52?
The DC 52?
Yeah, how about the DC 52?
Right.
You know. This is my prediction, Chris.
Okay.
In a year from now, of the DC's new 52,
yep.
39 titles will be Batman related.
All written by Scott Snyder.
All written by Scott Snyder, yeah. With maybe a few Orson Scott cards in there.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
If I had my way.
If I had my way.
Listen, don't panic, people. This is a natural process of elimination. This is a comic evolution. This is Darwin evolution at its best. This is people trying things and, it didn't work, so we try something else. Okay, it didn't work.
Here's my question for you. Here's my question for you. Okay, it actually gives you some numbers here in the third paragraph. There,
numbers.
Of how many issues were actually sold.
Yeah.
So, for example, Sword and Sorcery number 3, 13,752 issues were sold.
Yeah.
So, is this a sign that, hey, you know what, people should go out and buy these because so few were actually printed?
Yeah.
And they were going to be like worth a lot of money later on.
The only problem with that, Chris, is the only problem.
Yeah.
Is
no one cares.
No. Yeah. See, price is determinant on two things.
Okay.
Supply.
Right.
And demand.
Right.
Yeah. So there ain't going to be any demand for this
no
stuff.
No demand.
No.
Right.
So that's the problem.
So anyway. I shouldn't go out and spend my university college fund on Fury of Firestorm number 15.
I would say not. Maybe number one.
Really?
But not number 15.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Sorry. Hey, listen, we only have, about an hour?
About
10 minutes left. Let's talk about Valentine's
Day. Let's talk about Valentine's Day. Let's talk about Valentine's, baby.
Listen, let's talk about Valentine's Day as how your local comic show, how it affects your local comic
book How
show.
Does it affect your local comic
Well, I don't know.
Show.
That's what you and I are going to talk about. First of all, you know how Valentine's Day has become a very commercial day.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Every Joe Schmo Schmuck's got to run out and buy some flowers and buy some chocolates or buy some, whatever.
Yeah.
And what's the other one in the fall?
Where you get dressed Groundhog
up.
Day.
No, you get dressed up.
Halloween.
Halloween Day. Sorry. Yeah. That is very commercial. But the comic book industry is kind of rallying around that day.
Right.
They're trying
to
do a Free Comic Book Day Part 2.
Right.
That kind
right,
of day.
Right, right.
And then,
You know what?
Hold on. Let me.
Oh, sorry.
Get train of thought going here.
Yeah. I think
I'm
left,
at the caboose
it,
right
it
now.
Left the station. Go on.
Yeah. So should the comic book industry, who are trying to capitalize on Halloween,
right.
Should we be trying to capitalize on Valentine's Day? It seems such a no-no.
I'm going to say no.
That's
now, just hold on a second here.
No, you are not.
Yes, I don't. Did it back up? Beep, beep, beep. So you mentioned that. Okay, so the comic book industry is already doing Free Comic Book Day in May, correct?
In May.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to do a Free Comic Book Day Part 2
in October.
In October.
Yeah.
Right? That's two comic book pushes.
Yeah.
How many do you really need? First of all, how many do you really need? Second of all, I think it would behoove the comic book industry.
I don't know what that means.
It would make things better.
Right. Okay.
The comic book industry, if they instead of having a big push as far as giving away books and all that kind of stuff, have a comic books theme.
Comics books theme?
Make all the comic books have a theme for that month.
Right.
Right? So have
like the old days.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but so instead of
Chris, I disagree.
Why?
I think that
Don't
they
disagree.
Should do. I think that do you know what diamonds?
Diamond like the actual
Have you ever yeah, like diamonds.
I've bought diamonds.
If you've
before.
Read the history on diamonds, it's like De Beers,
yeah.
They kind of almost single-handedly created the myth around diamonds and Valentine's Day through marketing.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. No.
Well,
I'm not saying that the comic industry can repeat replace diamonds with comic books, right?
No, well, you never know.
But like, let's say, here you go. Let's say you know how on Free Comic Book Day you give out free comics,
right?
And they're 32 pages long. Why not in February? Why not ship out free Valentine's cards?
Right.
Of comic books.
Right. I agree.
Like, they're basically four pages. The yep. front cover and the back cover.
Sure, why not?
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then kind of, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm saying, don't make it like a big event, right? Have it involve Valentine's Day somehow, but don't make it a big event. Don't make it like Free Comic Book Day. Don't make
Everybody's afraid of Valentine's Day because they figure it doesn't belong in geek culture.
Okay, well,
it doesn't belong
in comic book
culture.
Now,
and I'm saying we should not be afraid of Valentine's Day. We should challenge it, and we should look at, hey, how can the comic book industry capitalize on Valentine's
Day? See, now you're hitting the nail on the head.
I am?
Yes, because for many eons, comic books and their ilk were, you know, seen as geeky and male dominated and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It is now cool to be a geek.
Yeah.
Right. It is now cool to do to be involved in comics,
but not just a geek
guy.
Just
hold on.
I'm a geek girl.
I'm getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Completely ruined my whole train of thought.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying, so now there's lots of girls involved in geekdom, right?
Yes.
So I think it's okay, and I'm agreeing with you, Walt. I'm agreeing with you for a change.
Finally.
I'm saying, you know, why not have Valentine's Day involved in the comic book industry? However, I don't know if you need to have a great big industry-wide event. However, you know what? I think that the stores, the retail outlets, need to do something about it themselves. They don't need to hold their mother's hand anymore. They don't need the big parents of the diamond comics distributors to say, oh, here's another event for you guys.
Yeah.
It's the retailers that need to actually go out and do something about it rather than having them being told by the publishers that they're going to do something. Take it upon themselves to actually do something to make their own Valentine's Day event.
You're absolutely right.
Right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, February's a great...
Leave the womb. Cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, here you go, though. But, Chris, you're right. You're right. Each individual comic shop should try and come up with a great Valentine's Day promotion.
Have weddings at the store. Have a date night at a comic book store. Could you imagine? Have a date night. One of those speed dating at the comic book store.
I love it.
And
I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say, but I love it. I think, though, we can do that, and with a bit of industry help too, we can turn that, because you know what? In the comic book industry, in the comic book retailing industry, and in the comic book fan world, it's doldrums time right now.
Right.
It's February. Everybody's waiting on Free Comic Book Day. Everybody's waiting on the big new movie releases.
Yeah.
You know, Age of Ultron. It's all coming. It's all in the spring.
Right.
They're all waiting, right?
Right, right.
And so this is a nice kind of February. It's a great time to do something innovative.
Yep.
To do something. And there is a great, great, great event in February, which is Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Our hobby, our interest, our comic book culture is all inclusive now. It encompasses all of society.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
And you know what? There's girls, there's boys. Love is in the air.
Love is in the air.
And this is a great opportunity for the comic book industry to capitalize on Valentine's Day, and I agree with you, it should come from the local comic shop,
right?
But I'm also pushing that it comes from the distribution and the publishers as well.
I think maybe not necessarily distribution, but I think the publishers should somehow involve Valentine's Day in their comics. But that isn't even just coming from a kid's standpoint where, you know what, why not look forward to the Valentine's Day issue? Why not look forward to the Halloween issue? You know what I mean? Like, make every occasion it's something where you can look forward to these things, right?
Chris, you're such a heartthrob.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't know how to respond to that, but sadly, that's all the time that we have for today.
Get out!
That's the way it goes.
All right, Chris. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck.
Young Buck.
Young Andrew Roebuck here to my left. And for comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll to the comments field, and add your comments. Also, check us out at getthepointradio.com.
And remember to go out and get your chocolate-covered comic book at your local comic book store.
Yes, Chris. And please go out and support your local comic book store.
Absolutely. Have yourself a great day.